Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
I'm going to read two very well-known verses this evening, and I'm sure you could, if I asked you to, quote them from memory, but I'm going to ask you to turn and read two of them. One's in John's Gospel and chapter 14, the fourth Gospel according to John, and chapter 14 and verse 6 says, John chapter 14 verse 6 says, Jesus said unto him, that's Thomas, one of his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, or no person, cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And over to the next book, which is the book of Acts, and chapter 4. And I'm sure if you know your Bible at all, you're ahead of me in my reading. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And God will add a blessing to that reading of his most precious and sacred word. It was in the 17th century where an emperor called Shah Jahan built the Taj Mahal. His third wife had died in childbirth to their 13th child. And such was his love for his bride. Well, I'm saying bride, they were married for a considerable time. Such was his love for his wife that he was going to build the Taj Mahal. And so he did. And it's perhaps one of the most beautiful buildings on the earth today. Marble, and it apparently changes colour depending on how the sun shines on it. And tremendous experience for those to see and to wonder. H.G. Wells took up the story, and he wrote a tale called The Peril of Love. And he too had an Eastern potentate whose bride had just died, and such was his grief that he would build an edifice to her memory. And from the desert sands there grew a magnificent building. No one had seen the like. Marble towers, minarets, pinnacles, inside as you went, exotic woods encrusted with precious and semi-precious stones, gold and silver in abundance, marble floors, fountains. He never seemed happy with what he had done, and he was always adding, embellishing, extending. And one day he was walking through the building with his architect and his builder, and they were discussing what else could be done to make this building even more magnificent. For people would come from miles around and view not only the building but wonder at the love that this man had for his bride that caused him to spend an enormous fortune in building this wonderful building. They came to the centre of the building, and there lay the simple stone casket that held the body of his wife. He fell silent, and the builder and architect just took a step back and wondered what was going through the mind of this great potentate. Suddenly he spoke. He pointed at the casket and says, "Take that thing away." Ah. H.G. Wells calls it the cruelest of all stories. For what had been the very reason for the building of this magnificent temple, mausoleum, had become offensive. You know, we can go around the countryside and we can look at the great cathedrals and abbeys and churches and we can marvel at the architecture and the amount of work that went into these buildings, and we wonder if there is a sense of the divine there. Is there a sense of God there? And there so often is not. It's cold. And God seems so far away from these buildings. Not so much interested in that this evening. I really want to talk it down to the individual. And wonder if we have a religion, we have a Christianity, and a spiked man impaled upon a cross, bleeding from hands and feet and side, thorns upon his blessed brow, crucified, hands wide apart. I wonder if he too is pointed at and have no place for Christ in their religion, in their Christianity. Let's bring it a little closer to us and just speak to ourselves about this. Do we have a religion? Do we have a Christianity? Do we have a belief system based upon the Bible? Where does Christ fit into that picture that you have? Is he offensive? Is, I say, this man upon a cross just seems too gross? And we're happy with our little crosses. And we're happy just to sanitize the whole business and put Christ outside our thinking, our philosophy, our religion, our Christianity. There's no place there. I want to tell you that Christ must be central to anything that we believe concerning the gospel. I want to tell you that if we take Christ from Christianity, we have absolutely nothing. I want to tell you that those of us who are relying upon Christ and his work at Calvary, if we take that from us, then we are, as Paul, the Apostle Paul would say, we are of all men most miserable, because we have nothing but a philosophy. Do you like reading the Bible? I hope you do. Do you like coming and listening to people talk about the Bible? I hope you do. But let's remember, let's never forget that the central figure of our belief, our Christianity, our understanding of the gospel is based upon a man who came into the scene of time. Yes, he was God. He was the eternal Son of the eternal Father. He had every attribute that God the Father had in the eternity past before he came. And we could spend time thinking about the great splendor and glory that he had. He came into time, and we think about that. We look into the manger at Bethlehem, and we see a baby. What does it mean? Sentimentality? Nothing really touching us concerning the real purpose for the coming into time of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read the miracles and see and wonder again at this one who came and simply dressed, bypassed the rich and the famous, never had the great robes of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, didn't sit in the Sanhedrin with those who would make laws. An itinerant preacher, walking in the land of Judea, Galilee, touching these places and performing miracles such as that, excuse me, had never been seen before. Raising the dead, feeding the 5,000, walking on the water, touching a leprous man and healing him, touching a blind eye and restoring to him his sight. Fairy tales? myths, legends? Is this all it is? I want to suggest to you that this is the reality of a Christ that we believe in. The all-powerful, the almighty, all-loving, all-gracious, all-merciful Son of God who came amongst us. And the reason he came and spent his time with us is for a particular reason that we Christians enjoy, because it says that he is now our high priest and he's walked this way before. He knows, he's been touched with all these things that we have touched, been touched with. But his mission was, his purpose in coming. We come into the world and we come in to live a life. The Saviour came in to go to Calvary. The reason he came in was to die. And if we miss Calvary, if we miss the purpose of it, if we don't understand the meaning of the cross, Calvary, Golgotha, then we've missed everything. For that is the means whereby we can obtain the salvation that we so desperately need. What did our verse say? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Doesn't say that we can be saved, although that is true. Doesn't say that we should be saved, well, that's true. It says we must be saved. Well, what does that mean? If we need saving, if we need salvation, if we need to be saved, then it would seem that we are lost. And you might say, I'm not lost. I've got my life together. I'm organized. I've got systems. I've got the goals in my life. There's things I'm going to do, and I'm anything but lost. The Bible says that you are lost. Lost and you're separated. You're, the prophet says, your sins and iniquities have separated you from God. What a thought that is. Separated from God because of the things that we have done. Or maybe even things that we haven't done that we should have done. Separated from... What a position to be in. And the Bible says, there's only one way. The way. Oh, people would speak about many ways to God. All travelling on different paths to the final presence of God. The Bible, the inspired word of God, God breathed, the inerrant, the trustworthy, sacred word of God says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Are you saved? Are you saved? Well, there's only two answers to that, isn't it? Yes or no? And the Lord Jesus said to Thomas, and we read it, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man, no boy, no girl, no woman comes to the Father because of this breach, but by me, but through me. And hence the reason why we take the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and we make him central here for what we understand, what we believe, and what we teach, because he is everything to us. He was the means whereby many sitting here came to a knowledge of Christ, and in days past they accepted him as a Saviour, because there was none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And because he said he was the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but through me. We must preach Christ and him crucified. And however shocking it might be for us to, in our mind's eye, see on a hill just outside the city of Jerusalem, a man on a wooden cross being inflicted with the worst punishment that human brain could come up with, It was undignified. It was horrible. It was painful beyond belief. We use the word excruciating. Coming out of the cross, it means, because it's the worst physical pain that was possible. How did man devise such a barbarous means whereby they would put people to death? And the one who dwelt forever with his Father in eternity. The angel sped to do his bidding. They cried before him, "Holy, holy, holy." They said at his birth, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill." And there were times in life's experience when, in extremity, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angel came and helped him, ministered to him. But on the cross, no angelic being to help him. Alone, completely alone, abandoned by his fellow man, for they all forsook him and fled. But worst of all, the Saviour says, "Why," speaking to his God, "why didst thou forsake me?" And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you the reason he came. I'll tell you why he endured such painful a death. It was out of love for you, love for me, that he came down from the heights of glory, Bethlehem, Egypt, Nazareth, Galilee, Jerusalem, Bethany, touched these places, and finally went, delivered himself up, so that there could come a time whereby we might just, understanding something of that, and understanding what he was doing, not just dying for whatever reason, he was dying for your sins had separated between you and God. And he was here to heal that breach. He was here to bridge that gap. He was here to restore, the Bible says, that which he had taken on away. And because of our lives, because of what we had done, because of what we are, we were separated from God. And out of love, Christ came and put his hand upon his Father God, and he puts his hand upon us and brings us together. I cannot begin to understand the physical pain that the Saviour endured. The pain that we endure is just for a season betimes, and it's fairly inconsequential. But the physical pain that he endured, the Bible says that every bone was out of joint. They nailed him to a cross, and they take the cross and they drop it into the hole, and the judder causes every bone to go out of joint. The pain must have been indescribable. Hanging in the eastern sun. I'll tell you this. Nothing, and I say this advisedly, nothing that he suffered there was worse than suffering at the hand of his Father God. He was paying a price. He was becoming a substitute. All the offerings in the Old Testament, the lambs and the bullocks and the turtle doves and the rest, were brought to try and appease a God, and in a measure they did. But here was one who was coming to do away with all that. So that now, it wasn't based upon what we did or what we brought. It was what we did with Christ. And what have we done with Christ in our lives? Have we looked and seen him there and understood he was dying for my sins? And it cannot be a mathematical equation. But if we think of the punishment that is due to us who might reject Christ and eternity out of the presence of Christ in that awful place called hell, forever and ever, timeless eternity. Multiply that by the people who come in simple faith and trust him for their sin, for their salvation. And he, in prophetic language, could say, all the waves and the billows have come upon me. And the wrath of God was poured out on his blessed Son. So much so that the scripture says his face was marred, disfigured, more than any man. Yeah. Can we begin to understand what God the Father was doing for us and God the Son was doing for us at Calvary? Can we then understand the great amount of love and compassion and mercy and grace that's waiting to be poured out upon you? All you've got to do is come in simple faith. Trust the Saviour. It's a belief. It's that trust. It's a heart's confidence. It's repentance. It's all those things coming in simple faith. And you can do it sitting on your seat. Don't need to wait to go home. Don't need to wait till next week. Don't need to wait for a convenient time. Now is the day of God's salvation. And sitting in your seat, you can just lift up your heart in prayer to God. And ask that he might just take your sins away and place them on that blessed man of Calvary, who was the substitute, who now is a go-between between God and man. He's the mediator. Old Job would say, oh, that there was a day's man. Oh, that there was somebody that would take God's hand and my hand and bring us together. Because, and there is, and his name is Jesus. And he paid that price at Calvary so that you might be free. Take that thing away, the Eastern potentate said. Let's not do that with Christ. Let's understand that it is essential that we come and only come through him. And may we know sins forgiven, peace with God, and all the blessings that God is just waiting to shower upon you through faith in Christ. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you born again? What does Christ mean to you? These are all questions that we really need to get a grip with, and before it's too late, and understand that there is one waiting. Oh, the grace of the Saviour, waiting to bless you, waiting to save. All it needs is you come in simple penitence.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.